Our message tonight deals with God will be with you. I'd like for you to take your Bibles and go to Joshua chapter 1. What we're getting ready to read was certainly very, very real to Joshua. Joshua was taking over the leadership, leading God's great people into a land that other people lived in. And they were going to have to conquer that land. And in Joshua chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, "No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." Now, did Joshua know anything about God being with Moses? Did he know anything about that? He most definitely did, didn't he? He had been there. He had seen the power of God work and work through a man by the name of Moses, and had seen God deliver his people out of the hands of a mighty Pharaoh and devastate the land of Egypt. He had seen God take his mighty wind and open up a path in the Red Sea and deliver his people through the Red Sea. And at the same time they got across on the other side, God was able to let the sea close back on top of the mighty army of Pharaoh and wipe it off of the earth, to destroy it. Joshua was there to see those things. He was there to see the wrath of God come down upon his people when they were so quick to disobey God and start making a golden calf. He was there to see God's anger take 3,000 of those Israelites out. And so here was Joshua. Now it was his turn. It was his turn to let the Almighty God work where? Through him, as he would lead God's people into the promised land. So Joshua was going to have to be strong. He was going to have to be courageous, and that's what verse 6 says. "Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them." Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Boy, he was told quite a bit right there, wasn't he? Were the souls of men dependent upon somebody, somewhere, taking the command of Almighty God and courageously doing what God told him to do, were a lot of the souls of men dependent upon that? Were they? Very definitely. And so I think certainly our camp, zeroing in on what Joshua was told here, will be a help and a blessing to each of us. Just a minute here. I didn't forget this year. Any of you that need to wet your whistle, there's some wetting down here underneath the pulpit, so. And it's ice cold, so it tastes pretty good, too. Now, tonight we're going to zero in on the very fact that God will be with us. Do we still have that promise today?
Yes.
We still have the promise that the Lord will go with us. Jesus himself said, as he told us to go into the lost world, he said, and surely what? And surely, surely, surely I will be with you to the very end of the age. I will be with you, Jesus said. But where are the Christians with courage? Where are the Christians that pay attention to their God and believe in their God and love their God and say, God, I'm yours and I will do what you tell me to do. I will go and I know you'll be with me and I'll hang on to your hand and I'll serve you till I die. Where are we? So, first thing I'd like to talk about tonight comes out of, I want to go to the 19th chapter of Psalms. This is a psalm that really, I've really grown to like. It's an amazing psalm to me, the way it's put together. The great, great, majestic power of our Almighty God is out there for every single one of us to see, isn't it?
Yes.
And the 19th chapter of Psalms tells us that. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. This voice of the heavens that's declaring, what's it declaring? What's the heavens declaring to us? The majestic glory of Almighty God. Every day it goes out. The message is out there for mankind to get a hold of. And isn't it awful that we get so wrapped up in our lives that we totally ignore the great glory that's being displayed so often in our busy pursuit, basically to feed our mouth and stay alive, and maybe to try to gain a little bit down here on this earth. There's no speech, there's no language where their voice is not heard, the Bible tells us. But if you were to go over to Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. You know, God made us. He put us on this earth. And he displays his tremendous glory and power for us to get a hold of. And here's man and his wickedness. And what's the wickedness of man doing? Suppressing what man can see and what man could be getting a hold of. Hollywood does a great job of suppressing the truth about our God, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, and I would hope that those of us that are here tonight hate Hollywood. I would hope that we hate it. We despise it. We can't stand it because it's gotten us so hard and so unmoved as we live on the earth with a chance to serve our mighty God. It hardens our heart. It dulls our senses. We get all wrapped up in what Hollywood wants to talk to us about. And you know what? Our science people aren't too far behind Hollywood, are they, in suppressing the truth? Doesn't it irritate you to no end when they want to try to tell us that some rock has been around a billion years or whatever? It's so frustrating. I grew up thinking science was supposed to be pretty much next to the Bible. It was dealing with fact. But I mean, it's so simple. I can take my watch off and look at it and know that there's a designer behind this watch. And then as I look at the magnificent heavens and I look at the human body and I look at the animal kingdom or anything else you want to talk about that God has made, you see a tremendous designer behind it all. How in the world could anybody swallow what our science tries to shove down our throats today? Science, schools, but you know, even our preachers have gotten to the point they won't give God the glory due him, many of them. Wrath of God coming down against the wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. I think it'd be great for us to make sure we get rid of all the static and all the fog and all the stuff that's out there between us and our God, and make sure that we're getting a hold of what God has made plain to us as we go through life. I would hope we say, you know what, I don't need this anymore, and I don't need that anymore in my life. I want you, God. I'm wanting to spend an eternity with you. I want to know more about you. I want to grow in my faith concerning you and my love for you. I don't want a bunch of this garbage in between me and you. So let's think about, I'm going to go ahead and, before I stop here, I want to go ahead and read a little bit further here in Romans 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. We're living in this kind of a world tonight, aren't we? And with all the technology that man has, it's just speeding up the process to dull your heart toward your Almighty God. Be careful. We're not promised heaven regardless of how we treat God. No. Are we? No. So as we think about the great power of God for all to see, that the first point of my message tonight, I'd like first to just think for a minute about the power of God with creation. And so I like the 33rd chapter of Psalms, where it says there in verse 6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars, and he puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him, for he spoke. And what happened? And it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. And if you go back to Genesis, you would find that in Genesis 1, verse 1, God created the heavens and the earth. And that word create means that God took from started with nothing. And what did he do with it? I mean, he worked with nothing and made everything that we have surrounding us with our life here on this earth. That's amazing to me. But then in verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And if you were to go to verse 9, and God said, let the water under the sky be gathered in one place, and let the dry ground appear, and it was so. Verse 11, then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it according to the various kinds. And it was so. And it goes on. You could go to verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. Verse 24, and God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. Those 6 days of creation, God spoke this magnificent universe into existence as he created it, didn't he? Amazing what our God did as he spoke it into existence. And then you go to the last verse of chapter 1. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. It was very good what God had made. Verse 1, chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. And how true that is. I think of the power that God displays in the heavens. I like what Isaiah chapter 40 says in verse 21. I will start with that verse there. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? I mean, what fact should be in our lives from the time we were just little bitty things starting to grow up? What fact should have been started to be established in our life that we got a hold of and that we grew up with? What fact should it be? Our God made us. Our God is our creator. Our God is a great God. Well, I mean, we should have learned that and been told that enough times that we got it through our head, and didn't just get it through our head. We believed it. And we said, listen, I will do one thing and one thing for sure with my life. I will serve this almighty God. I will serve him with all my heart. He is a great God. Nothing puny. Nothing that I have to look over here at the world with all of its little glittery trinkets that it passes out for people to get a hold of. And I have to go look at that and say, oh, wow, look at that. And I pull away from my God. I got a hold of something the other day. Drop down to verse 25 in Isaiah 40. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? Up here you'll get a chance to do that probably. To get out there in the night and look up at the sky and maybe see quite a few stars. And out here in this part of the country, that's a blessing that we have quite often with the clear skies, and we can see a lot of stars. And some of the facts that they've come up with now, they claim that concerning the stars, that in our Milky Way galaxy, they estimate that there are between 100 and 400 billion stars in our Milky Way galaxy. Now, before we go any further with that, somebody figured this out. I didn't, I just copied it down. But they said if you were to count, starting with one and counting one number per second continually to get to 1 million seconds, I mean, taking 1 million seconds, that would get you to the figure of 1 million. It would take you 11 days, 13 hours, 46 minutes, and 50 seconds to get to 1 million. If we started off tonight, I was going to call for a volunteer, but I didn't know anybody would want to stay up here for 11 days and keep counting to a million. So I thought, well, we just won't quite do that, you know. But if you were to go to a billion seconds, anybody want to volunteer for this one? 31 years, 251 days, 7 hours, 46 minutes, and 39 seconds to get to a billion. If you were to go to a trillion, it'd take you 31,688 years. That's counting nonstop. 31,688 years, 32 days, 46 minutes, and 40 seconds. To get to 1 trillion. Now, some of you are probably thinking like I thought. Automatically, when I hit the trillion figure, I went to $1 trillion and thought of our national debt at being something like $17 trillion. And I thought, brother, we're in big trouble. You know, but we're not. Don't focus on our national debt tonight. We're using these figures for what? The stars in the sky. All right. By the way, 1 trillion is one followed by 12 zeros. But now back to the Milky Way galaxy. How many stars do they think there might be in the Milky Way galaxy? Between 1 and 400 billion. Then they say that there's more than, so they haven't got a complete figure on this one, but they say that there's more than 100 billion galaxies of stars. Somehow they came up with, have you ever heard of sextillion? That's one followed by 21 zeros. All right? A trillion was one followed by 12 zeros. So now we're talking about one sextillion is a one followed by 21 zeros. And they claim that there, if you took that figure of 100 billion galaxies, and some galaxies are bigger than our Milky Way, some are smaller. And so if you just kind of cut an average in there, you'd come up with 70 sextillion stars altogether. And now if you're going to count that out, you're going to have to speed up your count because you're getting way up there. And so you're going to have to go to 10 numbers per second. And I doubt if there's anybody who can talk that fast here tonight. But anyway, you'd have to go to 10 numbers per second and never stop. And it would take you 3,168,808,782,000 years to get to that figure. Now go back to Isaiah chapter 40 for a minute. Verse 26 said, lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. These figures we cannot comprehend. They're too big. They're too vast. God made it all, made all those stars in our universe, and has them each named. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. You guys believe this tonight? Do you believe God made all of that out there? And what has God said to you? What has God put you on this earth for? Why are you here? Something we'd better figure out, because guess what? Hebrews 9:27 says what? It's appointed unto man once to die, and what comes next? The judgment. Who are we going to be judged by? Our God, who has all these stars named and has the power to keep all of them in place. As I think about this sometimes, I am amazed at the mercy of God, that He would give me an opportunity to know His Word, and that He would give me an opportunity to serve Him. That's unbelievable almost. Such a great, mighty God would reach down. And we could go to Acts chapter 17 if you'd like. Acts chapter 17. Paul was trying to help some people get a hold of God years ago with this passage of Scripture. Verse 24, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by hands. And He's not served by human hands as if He needed anything, because He Himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man He made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. And He determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek Him and perhaps reach out for Him and find Him, though He's not far from each one of us. Isn't that something? God put you here, and it wasn't an accident, was it?
No.
He put you here on purpose. And we're here tonight because of the great mercy of God, that He still gives us life. The Bible says in Luke 12, verse 7, that the very hairs of our head are numbered. So I suppose that since God can keep those stars from missing to where none of them are missing, I'm sure He keeps a tally on how many hairs you lose and you don't get back. You know, as you start getting less and less hairs on your head, He knows every single one of them and what's happening to every one of them. Matthew 10 brings that out as well. In Isaiah 40, verse 15, it says, surely the nations are like a drop in a bucket. They are regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. Nations like a drop in a bucket. Verse 17, before Him all the nations are as nothing. They are regarded by Him as worthless and less than nothing. Nations of men are nothing to our Almighty God. Do we believe that? Don already mentioned it tonight, but I think we're all well aware of this, and we don't want to go to sleep on it. Our nation is getting very corrupt, and it's closing in on us. And the devil being loosed and the devil going out to deceive the nations of mankind and gathering them together for battle against the people of God is not a fun thing to think about. I mean, this means we've got trouble on our hands. And I would hope all you young people here tonight would realize, yeah, it's nice to have fun as you're growing up, but I would hope that you would realize, you know what? I'd better get a hold of my God at my age and not plan on waiting to get a hold of God when I'm 50. I'm going to get a hold of God now, not later. And I'm going to serve my God. There were young people in the Bible that decided to serve God, and God used them, didn't He? And God will use you young people as well. And I would hope that you pay attention to the Word of God, and that you think, and that you don't let this corrupt world around you squeeze you into its mold, to where you want to look and act and think and be like all the godless young people that are out there. I would hope you'd have more sense than that. And I'd really hope you parents of your young people would have more sense than that. You're not in a popularity contest to see your kids be thought highly of with a bunch of godless kids. Your job is to raise your kids up to know this Almighty God. God holds the breath of all mankind in his hand, Job 12:10 tells us. And just quickly here, second part of my message deals with the majestic power of God at work through mankind historically. Now, I'm just going to mention some of these. You can list. Sometimes it's fun when you're thinking about things in the Bible. Just say, you know, I wonder how many of these I could list. And just start listing things that you're studying about God or about life of man and so forth. But if you were to make a list of the things that you can think about in the Bible where God worked through living people, Almighty God worked through them to take care of them. Maybe these are some of the things you'd think about. You could go clear back to Genesis 3 if you wanted to get started with Adam and Eve. And when Eve listened to the devil and disobeyed God, God had the power to do what to Adam and Eve? He cast them out of the garden. Do you think Adam and Eve ever thought about how beautiful that garden was? And do you think they ever might have thought, boy, it'd be nice to go back to that garden? But did God have the power to keep them out of the Garden of Eden? He did. And man never set foot again in the beautiful Garden of Eden. God cast man out, and God kept man out. You could start there. You could go to Noah's time. There in Genesis 6, 7, and 8, and you could go to the great flood. And we have no idea how many people were living on the earth in that day, but they estimate 1 or 2 billion people probably at least. And how many of them got in the ark? 8. Did God change his mind and let any of the rest of them in? Did he start the flood, and then all of a sudden the sky cleared up for a little bit and the door of the ark opened again for man and let a bunch of people hurry and get in? Did that happen? No, when God shut the door of the ark, it stayed shut. And you can bet anything you wanted to that there were people close enough to that ark that when it started to flood and the underground springs burst forth and the sky emptied down the rain from above, they were headed for the ark, and I bet you there were people that clawed till they left bloody marks on the ark, trying to claw their way in and praying to God and asking God for mercy. And God had shut the door and no man would open it, and 8 souls were saved. And that was it. But God delivered mankind through those 8 souls, didn't he? God's deliverance of the Israelites from Egypt, the crossing of the Red Sea, the conquering of the Promised Land, the miraculous deliverance from the mighty oppressors in the time of the judges, David going against Goliath, Hezekiah with 185 Assyrian soldiers waking up dead the next day. You know, and who took them out? One angel of God. 185,000 of them. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from mighty Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel from the lion's den. On and on we could go with stories right here in the Bible that's trying to open our eyes and open our heart and open our soul to the fact that we serve a mighty, mighty, mighty God. And God's been with man all through the history of man, has he not? Has he? Yes, he has. Sometimes I wonder if we believe it. When we act as cowardly as we do, when we have the chance to stand. The time of Jesus When Jesus came to the earth as a helpless infant, and was there somebody wanting to get him?
Yeah.
And out to kill him?
Yeah.
And Jesus was in that little body, that little infant body, helpless, was he not? And God took care of him, didn't he?
Sure.
His only begotten son, he took care of him, delivered him from the clutches of that evil, evil Herod. And actually, Jesus miraculously escaped as a grown-up as well, until he offered himself up and gave up his life on the cross. The escape of Peter in Acts chapter 12, the escape of the apostles, the spreading of the gospel from Jerusalem with an infant church when there was no guidelines for them written down yet, and they let the Holy Spirit work through them, and they kept on serving the mighty God, our God in all of his might, all of his wisdom, all of his strength, had the ability to take an infant church, and when persecution came down against her, the church just spread out and started preaching the gospel to the lost world of mankind, and the devil could not stamp the infant church out, could he? And the church continued. The conversion of man's kind, even to this day, the work of God, Almighty God, working in man. Read it, think about it, believe it, and let God work in your life. Last, the majestic power of our God over evil. Just want to talk about that for a minute. Psalms 12, if you want to turn there, there's a scripture that very much applies to today. The 12th Psalm. Verse 8. The wicked, and I like the way the NIV reads here, the wicked freely strut about when what is vile is honored among men. Oh boy, they come out of the closet, don't they? And they sure strut their stuff. And oh, they're going to be so powerful. And they're going to be so ungodly and wicked with their stuff. And they're going to try to shove it down the throats of everybody else. Verse 1 of that chapter says, "Help, Lord, for the godly are no more. The faithful have vanished from among men." Don't let that happen in your lifetime. You be determined that's not going to happen while you live. You will be godly. You will let your God work through you. You will humbly serve him and let him use you however he wants to use you. You'll let him. We don't want to end up in a land where the godly are no more, but we're getting that way. So help, Lord, very definitely. Help, Lord. We need your help. We need your strength. I got quite a bit here I'd like to cover, but I want to make sure I get my conclusion in here, so I'm going to go to the conclusion of my message tonight. If you have an opportunity, go to Revelation chapter 18 and read 18, 19, and 20, and notice that God's going to be victorious. God will be victorious. God is not puny. And wickedness seems so overwhelming to us, does it not? I mean, it seems like a huge mountain sometimes, and we look around us and we say, what in the world can we do? Where can we go? This is all over the place. I mean, if you're like me, you get plain disgusted at our government and at our president. And it is so disgusting and it's so discouraging. To see what's going on, you feel like you don't even have a voice in anything. And you may not politically, but you do have a voice that can go somewhere. And where can it go? It can only, it just happens, your voice can actually go, and the Lord, our Lord Jesus, can help us out. The Holy Spirit can help us out here, and our voice can actually go to the throne of our Almighty God. And our Almighty God can listen to you in this world of wickedness, in this time that's so overwhelming, and it can discourage us and make us want to back off and not keep going forward. There's no need for that. Not while God's on his throne, there isn't. So don't sell out. Don't ever sell out. Don't compromise. Do not compromise the truth. It's our God that gave us his word. It's our God that figured out the gospel plan of salvation. Our God designed this for man. And do you think God knows what he's talking about when he gave man a way to be saved? And do you think he still has the power to carry out the gospel message into the hearts of the lost souls of men to see them converted? Do you think that can still happen today? Do you think we can still teach our children about God and have children that would stand up and say, I love you, Lord, and I want to serve you too? Think that can still happen? Yes, it can still happen if somebody somewhere believes in Almighty God. So don't compromise. Don't listen to the religious world out there that's so in love with the world. Don't let your teenagers back you into a corner with their desire to be like the world. Don't let it happen. And by the way, you may think you love your kids, but I want to tell you something. God's watching. God's listening. God knows if you're letting your kids get out here and think that living for themselves and working to get a bunch of stuff for themselves is the way to live, God's watching all this and listening to it. If you think your kids are great athletes, I mean, there can be a place for playing ball, but there's a place where playing ball and God meet. And you have to say something has to give here. And it shouldn't be God given. It should be the Christian parents saying, you know what? We're putting God first and we're putting the church first, and we will not allow sports to interfere with our love for our Lord. Amen. And going to church, we will not let it happen. Amen. I mean, God's watching, God's listening to us in our homes. Don't be attracted to the devil's brand of Christianity. The devil does have a brand of Christianity, does he not? Oh boy, there are guys out there that they can crank up the music and they can, I just heard the other day there was a group in Cheyenne that basically sets a smorgasbord out for the people that come. It's not just cheap donuts anymore. I mean, it's a bunch of stuff. And they're working to try to get 1,000 people. They want to be a mega church. A mega church. They might have a few words that sound good, but that's it, isn't it? Don't fall in love with the world or anything in it. The Bible says if you do, what? In 1 John 2, if you fall in love with the world or anything in the world, are you any of God's? You're not one of God's people anymore. Don't get discouraged and tired and weary and give up. Don't do it. I mean, there are a lot of us that are younger than you old codgers out there, and we're watching you old codgers. And when we see you not giving up, do you think that encourages the rest of us? It does. To see you want to serve the Lord, die with your boots on, so to speak. Don't get discouraged and tired and weary and give up. Don't listen to well-meaning friends who don't love God. There are a lot of those out there. Oh, they mean well. And they're your friend, but they don't love your Lord. Don't let them sweet-talk you into hell. And don't be a prayer dropout. If there's ever a time in this world that we need men and women that'll get on their knees and pray, and young people that'll get on their knees and pray, it's now. It is now. We need our God. We've got to have our God. We cannot do this on our own. This is way beyond our power to do what needs to be done for mankind. We've got to have God. God will never leave us. God has all power. Clear to the end. In fact, maybe we'll end with this scripture. Let's go over to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 1. The poor Christians back in the time that this was written, they were having a lot of trouble with persecution. But if we started in verse 5, it says, "All this is evidence that God's judgment is right. And as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power on the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. And this includes you because you believed our testimony to you." Does that speak of power? Does that speak of our Lord having majestic power clear to the end when the Lord Jesus comes back? It most definitely does. We're going to sing our song of invitation tonight, number 633. Our song says, "Careless soul, why will you linger, wandering from the fold of God? Hear you not the invitation? Oh, prepare to meet thy God." One thing for sure, I think that our world, our wicked world around us, does to a lot of us is make us careless. We're careless in our walk with God. It's almost as though we think we've got a free ticket to heaven and we can get moved to follow God when we want to and we can turn him off when we want to. That's not the way God's going to award us an eternity in heaven by living that way. So I don't know where you're at this evening. God knows. This invitation's for every one of us to determine that we're going to let the mighty God rule in our lives. You make whatever decision you need to make as we stand.